It's Download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here, coming up at the 10 o'clock hour. Greg Flamm is here for the swap meets. He's got a guest tonight, too. We're going to talk about denim. Yeah, I know. Pete's face lit up. Lit up. He loves the denim. That's coming up at 10 o'clock in the swap meet. Well, the new Chicago Magic Lounge is open for business, if you can find the door. The new lounge is on Clark Street in Andersonville, and it prides itself not only on what's on stage at the parlor, but wowing crowds before they even step foot in the space. Magicians and parlors have always been a part of Chicago's history, but usually they come in the form of magic nights or booking magicians at restaurants and clubs. Rarely, if at all, has there ever been a theater dedicated to the dark arts. Bar, sure, plenty, but no magic theater. Joey Cranford looks to change that. He's a co-owner of the space. Joey's been a longtime member of the Chicago improv and theater community as an actor, comedian. He's also been one of Chicago's premier concierge at some of the downtown hotels, a longtime tour guide in town, and he's in studio now. Joey Cranford, good to see you, Joey. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good to see you too, man.
This is great, man. I'm proud of you, and I'm very happy for the success of the space. I know GN was just in there for Radio Recess, and you're getting a ton of press, so congratulations on this. What is the impetus to have a magic theater?
Oh, man. There's just so few places to see magic at any given time. But it wasn't a master plan. This thing happened organically through just a little bit of curiosity by me into what goes into putting on a magic show. I was on the radio. Actually, it was in WGN radio about three years ago, upstairs, and we were 2 days after our first opening whenever we ran the show at the Uptown Underground.
Yeah.
And she said it was Bosworth. She said, "What's the goal here?" And I said, "We're going to open our own place." How long have you been open? 2 days. I had no clue. I just had this vision that it could happen again.
That's amazing, too, because for anyone who's anywhere near the arts, to be in a position where you can get your own space, build out the whole bit in the city of Chicago, that is an undertaking. We'll talk about that. That's crazy. Magic and a little bit of history here. Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned to me right before we started, the bar that had magic bars were invented in Chicago. Chicago does have this connection to magic.
Right. It goes back to around, if you want to go back, we have the time, 1893 Columbian Exposition.
Yeah.
There was Houdini playing as the Brothers Houdini. It was him and one of his friends. It wasn't his brother yet that joined the act. And they were in the midway doing a fakir act. I can say that word on the radio if I say it slowly. Fakir act.
Fakir.
And, they were also doing close-up magic there, and so, Chicago audiences got a taste of it at the turn of the century, seeing magic done up close and personal. But this era was about the big stuff, the levitations and the sawing people in half and all that, smoke and mirrors and trapdoors and all that. But Harry Blackstone, who was from Chicago, big name in the city, he ended up, the story goes that he went to Schulian's, a little German restaurant, and performed magic at a table while people were waiting for the food to come out, over drinks, having a good time, laughing. And that kind of was that moment of breaking the fourth wall for magic. And what didn't need a big stage, didn't need 2,000 people in the audience. It really just needed four people ready to laugh and have a good time.
And I saw that term really for the first time today, looking at your story about close-up magic.
Yeah.
This concept of really when we talk about card games and card tricks, that's in the arts of close-up magic.
Close-up magic has been around forever. We didn't invent that. We just invented doing it at bars. So the magic that happens up close, personal, everyday objects, cards, coins, small apparatus, ropes, small things that can be done. That was done in an informal setting in Chicago, and that's kind of what we've done towards the arts. So we approached this like blue collar lifestyle by bringing it into the bars, and so you didn't have to. Chicago's never been one of those places that like puts on the coat and goes out. We had an opera, but nobody wanted to see it. Like in the early days,
right.
The very first cultural arts was the symphony, and at that time, no one wanted to see Thomas's orchestra. They were like locking them in, playing Yankee Doodle Dandy and stuff. And it's like he could conduct. He came from the Philharmonic, and he's doing, the pops, in the turn of the century. And so, for Chicago, it was 1915. Matt Schulian, the son of the owner, he had been working on some card tricks, and he was like, "Dad, this is cool. I'm going to do this. And so he's like, okay. But then that just churned out all of these new magicians. There was a hotel downtown called the LaSalle Hotel, long gone. There was a place inside it called the Gay 90s. Apparently, that was the term for the 1890s, the Gay 90s. And there was a magician in there. And he ended up, his name was Johnny Paul, and he ended up being the first one to perform behind the bar, really calling it a bar magician, turning the bar into a stage. Wow. And so Shulian was known for table magic, and Johnny Paul was known for bar magic. And then in 1936, a place called Jim Ryan's Magic Tap opened up, and that was the first magic bar to be a truly dedicated magic bar. It was in the 30s. And so that was out on the west side near Austin community, so Division in Austin, basically. And then, like, rapidly, things just started happening. They were one by one. And then the 70s and 80s, there was about 9 open at one time. A little bit of magic on the south side of Chicago would go through 3 different iterations. There was the New York Lounge, which would move twice, open for 40 years. Drunk Magic until 4 a.m. It was incredible. On north side, 5151 North Lincoln.
Wow.
There was Mr. C's Magic Lounge in Berwyn. Shulian's still going at the same time. They had the Magic Touch out in Palatine.
So what happened? I mean,
who knows?
Would they just stop doing this? I mean, it's not. We're talking kind of contemporary times.
Yeah, yeah. 80s, well, right? I mean, up into the 80s, there was. I mean, you still had a place called Houdini's Pub and Pizza Magic. But times were changing. You know, I mean, you mentioned I come from the comedy world. I was a stand up in Austin for a brief time before moving into the improv world, and that whole scene began around the decline of these bars. So whether it was changing tastes in what audiences were going towards, I mean, that's basically what killed the disco scene, was changing tastes. But I tried to find it, because I'm kind of a history nerd. I like to dig in and figure it all out.
And I love it.
and there is no cause to it. New York Lounge closed because their owner Jack Murray didn't want to do it anymore, and nobody wanted to take the reins. Wow. These were magicians, they're not businessmen. Shulian's closed because the patriarch Charlie, he passed away, and the family was kind of like, we've done it since the 1880s, we're good.
You and me both doing comedy stuff, there was always a hierarchy or at least a career trajectory, right?
Yep.
You would get to a point where you're like, okay, I do improv for a certain point, and then I'm going to get on Saturday Night Live, and then I'm going to be a star. Is it the same in the magic world where, like, the 80s and 90s were like, I'm a young magician, if I can get to Vegas.
If I can just get on this bar, then someone will see me, and then they'll forget they saw me because they were hammered. Forget what I even did. What I think he got my car. It's all very hazy. No, it was a completely different hierarchy. But it's funny that you mention kind of the parallels of improv and magic, because, coming from a background in theater and the community of improv, I walked into the magic community not knowing anything about it. Turns out, very solitary art. You get better by practicing alone in your bedroom in front of a mirror. There's only a few places that you can talk about the secrets of magic, and that's generally at a magic shop or at clubs that are formed around the city. And we've got loads of old clubs. Houdini formed a club in 1919 in Chicago, Society of American Magicians. It's a real thing. And but there's no formal community. And so that was the other thing that I was really interested in, because when you meet about 4 magicians at a time, it's kind of weird. I went to a party one time at Magic Incorporated, at Magic Inc. My wife actually got me into this party, and there was about 20 magicians in the room, and it was amazing. They knew I was new to it, and so I was the sucker. Like, I was the one layman that they could just tear apart, and I had so much fun. And I was like, why doesn't this happen all the time? When I was on the road, we'd go back to Improv Olympic at the time, and we would, you'd go to the bar and you'd see what was happening and see what's, hip and fresh.
All improvisers and everywhere.
And then if you're a stand-up, you hang out at the back of the club and you watch and you see who's up and coming, who's working on their material. And then that kind of chat between the two artists at the end of the night over a couple of drinks, the community just kind of supports you, and you get better with everybody. But the magic community
didn't have that.
They didn't have that. So I wanted to kind of, using an improv term, map it over the magic community and see if I could create a roof and a haven.
Well, you've done
these
that.
Magicians.
The Chicago Magic Lounge up in Andersonville, 5050 North Clark. Joey Cranford in studio is a co-owner. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Let's talk about how you got it done. I mean, again, because you're a great storyteller, and of course your interest in telling it the right way, you were able to capture the story on a blog of building the theater.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more with Joey Cranford, my guest in the download. Stay with us. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, Joey Cranford, talking about his new theater, the Chicago Magic Lounge. I guess it's a magic lounge. It's not a theater. I keep calling it a theater, but that's, I get the old habits die hard. I know Joey from the theater, from doing improv and comedy in Chicago. Let's talk about this. You know, I always think about you know, how hard it is to put a theater together. And to do one that's magic as well. I mean, that's hard. It's hard to get brick and mortar in this town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of itinerant theater companies, and the reason they are is because it costs money, and it's hard to be on the hook for a space. Talk about why you chose this route. Why not just stay at the Uptown Underground or other places and do shows? What was it about starting your own spot?
I think the vision of this show was larger than we kind of planned for in the beginning. It was, we had so much momentum. We'd gotten so much attention from this community of artists that this was something they needed as well. The why of our product was so strong. It's written by Simon Sinek. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Right. And we told the story every night in front of this audience, and they just fell in love with the concept, with the vision. This wasn't just a magic show, this was a revolution, you know? It's kind of how I emceed the whole night. And it just captured everyone's imagination. It wrapped them into this like history that they didn't know about. And right. Any Chicagoan loves the history of the city. And if there's something
if
there's a little uncovered piece that they are like, wait a minute, I didn't know that. And I've read Devil in the White City. You know what I mean? So we captured their imaginations that way. But and because of the passion and the vision and our dedication to just doing it to the best of our ability, every night we grew from one night to two nights. And then we captured the attention of my partner, Donald C. Clark Jr. He came to see a show and was immediately taken away by just the raw passion that he felt. And he said, would you like to talk about something else? What's next? So we got to working on it, and we tried a little things here and there to kind of tweak it and to see, like, little tests, really, to see if the market could bear a little bit more. And we started bringing in acts from out of town, and then we said, all right, let's, the conversation was, we dropped a pebble, now let's drop a rock in the pond and see what happens. We were approached by many people, though. He wasn't the only one that wanted to partner, but Don immediately got the vision, and we became friends through this.
So
and he's not, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, okay, you're gonna have this thing, and you've got a shadow behind you that's gonna front the whole thing, and they're just waiting for their returns. But Don was more of a passionate visionary in this project as well. So he was able to just provide all of his creative input as well. And he's also producing shows in New York and Broadway. He produced The Encounter, which got a special Tony for sound, and he's got a film that he's working on now. So he's lived an amazing life as an attorney, and now it's time for him to become a child again.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. You know, is this a dream come true for you? I mean, were you a kid who at 5 years old, 6 years old, was pulling quarters out of ears and figuring that, you know, like, I mean, is
now,
this...
I've been an actor since I was, like, in kindergarten, you know? I was the ringleader in some circus thing, I vaguely remember. But I've always been in the theater, and I always kind of, you know, in the back of your mind, like, it'd be great to actually own a theater. But, you know, my Beckett and Pinter plays would only get me so far in the world, you know? It's always been a dream to just be an artist, dive into that world of art. But no, magic was never. I went to prank shops when I was 10 years old. Like,
sure.
I was like the kid with the dollar snatcher and the fake
throw-up.
Well,
where does magic come from? I mean, what was the draw?
You want to know? It started as a bit. It started as a joke.
Of course it did.
And this is just how far I'll take a joke, you know? No, it... my wife and I, we used to. Now this is, you know, nothing against the magician, because he's reputable among some. But if you would go to Walgreens, or if you went to Walgreens about you know, 5 years ago, you would see the Criss Angel Magic set. And it had, you know, the Criss Angel Mind Freak deck, you know, and it was all of these effects that you could get for $29.95. But if you saw on the side of it, it said a $250 value. So we were just immediately like, this is great. This is valuable. We should buy 10 of these, sell it for parts out of the back of our trunk like R. Kelly did at Rock and Roll McDonald's with the CDs, right? We'll make a mint. We'll retire by selling off these magic cards. They're just giving these away. So every time we'd go to Walgreens, like, we need toilet paper. Should we get our retirement while we're here as well? You know? So what we need a toothpaste. We're going to get we need some creamer. And then also, do we need the magic sets tonight? I don't know. Okay, fine. We'll just walk away from our future. And so it just was this running bit, and it just kind of went away for a while. And then my wife, Cindy, she there's a weird box under the tree for Christmas, and I was shaking it, and I had no idea what it was. And I cried when I opened that, and it was the Criss Angel Magic set. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so I opened it, and it was amazing. Like, the Criss Angel Mind Freak deck was great. And so I learned a magic trick and showed our friends at Poker Night. And they were like, do another one. I was like, I can't.
I can't.
That's the only one.
Give me a week.
So it led me to Magic Shop. Cindy found the better magic shop, which led to this big magic part. And it just happened. It just magically appeared into my life.
I love it. Joey Cranford is the co-owner of the Chicago Magic Lounge, which is now open for business, 5050 North Clark Street in Andersonville, the first magic theater that we know of. There are many, many magic bars, but magic theaters. You got to come back, Joey. We got to do more and talk about what you're doing up there and beginning a new history for Chicago. Yeah. So thanks for being here, man. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.